Greetings. Welcome to Media Matters. My name is Bob McChesney. I'm your host this Sunday here on WILL in Urbana. And our guest this week on Media Matters is one of the really great media analysts and media critics in the United States. Her name's Janine Jackson, and she's the program director at Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, a group also known as FAIR, based in New York, a 15-year-old organization that specializes in doing critical analysis of news media coverage, especially journalism. And she's also been co-host for many years of their radio program, Counterspin, which airs here on WILL, along with 132 other radio stations in the United States. And Janine, are you there?
Yes. Hello, Bob.
Thank you very much for joining us here on Media Matters.
It's my pleasure.
Well, you know, I think I've given a little bit of a background of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. FAIR, the group that you work with, or program director, is that your official title?
That's my official title, yes.
But if you've been to FAIR, I mean, FAIR is a great group. I've been following them since the beginning. I like to joke that back in the 80s, early 90s, there were sort of like three people working out of a closet in Manhattan. And now today they've grown so much there are 10 people working out of a closet in Manhattan. But it's really established itself, I think, as the preeminent liberal or left liberal critical view of news media in the United States and one of the leading groups in the world.
Well, I'm thrilled to hear you say that. It's certainly true that when Jeff Cohen founded FAIR in 1986, there just weren't that many people talking about media, talking about ownership of media and the influence that had on the news that we get to see and to hear. And certainly it's much more common today, both for, you know, we're not always satisfied with the arguments or the discussions that we hear about it, but it certainly is media is on the table as a discussion and a point. And I think that does have a lot to do with FAIR, I'm proud to say.
Why don't you tell folks a little bit, Janine, about what sort of operations FAIR does? What does FAIR do?
Well, FAIR is basically, you say 10 people, but we're actually just six at the moment.
Doing the work of 10, though.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. But what we do, we publish a magazine that's called Extra. We have a radio show, which I'm proud to say airs on this very station, WILL. That's Counterspin. And we also have a listserv with about 25,000 people where we send out action alerts and on a weekly basis about issues that come up in the news. And what we're basically doing is looking at the news media, the nightly news, radio news, as well as newspapers and magazines, and trying to ask, you know, which voices are we hearing? Which perspectives are we getting on the news? It's so influential on how we live our lives. Well, what's included in that media? And if things are missing, why are they missing? And we try to call attention to those sorts of things and also to, you know, the sort of behind-the-scenes stuff. Who owns how many stations and how many will they own tomorrow and what sort of impact does that have on the news? We're trying to keep up with the policy level as well. So we're a media watch group trying to pay attention to censorship and issues in the media.
Well, let's talk about some of the issues that FAIR has been working on over the past few months. Specifically, I know one of the areas you've been working on is in the area of broadcasting policy, deregulation of ownership. What's been taking place there?
Well, it's been pretty amazing. You know, we used to talk years ago about the concern that in the near future there would be just a tiny, tiny handful of corporations that would control the majority of news content. Well, in recent years, things have sort of juggernauted past even our most negative expectations. As you well know, since the Telecommunications Act of 96, which was highly deregulatory, a lot of the regulations, the public interest sort of checks on the power of media companies, their sort of greed and desire to control, a lot of those checks and balances have simply been being systematically removed. Just as recently as last month, a court overturned the rule that prevents one company from owning both television stations and cable stations or cable franchises in a single market. It's just boom, it's gone. You know, and they're also talking about getting rid of the rule that limits how much of the percentage of the U.S. audience a single television company can own. So one by one, the sort of controls that we had on how dominant any one corporation could be in the media field, those regulations are disappearing. And I think folks are going to feel the impact of that. But, of course, it's hard to read stories that are really informative stories because where are you looking to read them? You're looking to read them in the very media that are, you know, that are trying to grow mm-hmm. bigger and more dominant. So it's sort of a... it's sort of a reason you need non-commercial programming and programs like this, as a matter of fact, because here we can talk about these real dangers to our democracy.
Well, thank you very much, Janine, for leading into that point, because this is our pledge drive here on WILL this week. And if people would call in with a pledge to support this program, Media Matters, and the programming we do in WILL, that would definitely be a tremendous assistance. We have a goal to get to $12,000 for the day. We're up to about $10,000. And the number here is 217-244-9455 to make a pledge. Please call in. And if you'd like to call in and ask Janine Jackson a question, our guest on Media Matters today, the number is similar, but it starts a little differently. It's 333-9455. Our lines are open if you'd like to talk with Janine Jackson, Program Director of FAIR. Janine, when I talk on my classes or when I give public talks and mention some of these deregulations that are going on with broadcast ownership and the letting newspaper companies own cable systems and TV stations in the same community, oftentimes people say, well, what's the big deal? I mean, we have highly concentrated media now. How could it possibly make journalism any worse? How do you respond to that?
Well, it's actually a very common question for me. I think people are sort of, you know, maybe cynical or skeptical to begin with. But if you think about it, and when you can imagine, you remember situations, if you're lucky enough to live in a town that had two papers, you know, two different newspapers owned by different owners, that they could actually make efforts to get stories that the other didn't have. They could disagree on ideological or editorial points, you know. And I think, although it's fading in many people's memory, we've sort of given up the idea that there could be a real... not diversity of, you know, how a superficial diversity of, you know, whether the anchor is blonde or brunette, you know, but a real a debate going where you read one paper because it had a particular point of view and you knew another paper would disagree and you as a citizen wanted to hear all of those views and make up your own mind. Well, ownership really does affect the ideological content, the substantive content of a media outlet, and it's simply worrisome to have a single company own, you know, as now is, you know, quite on the realm of possibility, a newspaper and a radio station and the TV station and, you know, the cable company in a single town. Reporters who might be really enterprising reporters and perhaps dig up a story about the corporate owner, because of course that's a problem with corporate ownership. It's very hard to, it's impossible nearly for journalists to really write critically about the company that is cutting their paycheck. And the more that company is involved in lots of different industries, well, that's lots of different things that reporters are going to have a harder time writing critically about. Well, that kind of journalist who maybe had stepped on some toes at their newspaper that they worked for, maybe they could grow across town and work for the competition. That's less possible now. So it all really does. I understand the cynicism because things look sort of samey as it is. But there really is a difference, a freedom, a diversity that you can have when you have at least some competition among owners of media outlets.
You know, in theory, when they give these licenses to TV and radio stations and these licenses to have monopoly cable franchises to firms for regions in the country, in theory, these firms are supposed to be doing something in the public interest to justify the government granting them monopoly rights to a frequency.
Right.
If I understand it, the Federal Communications Commission, what's called the FCC, is the regulatory body that's supposed to be looking out for our interests to make sure these companies do something in the public interest. Is that relationship working? I mean, what's going on there with the FCC and the public interest?
Well, unfortunately, the FCC, which really is meant to be, you know, a lot of these decisions are behind the scenes. The public may never know about them, but the FCC is supposed to be in there being basically our voice, you know, at least raising the question of, well, let's see, you're going to allow the same company to own the newspaper and the TV station. How might that impact the public interest. How might that impact not just consumers in terms of cable rates or what they pay, but citizens? How is it going to affect the range of debate and diversity and different views that people are exposed to? Those are the kinds of things the FCC is supposed to be asking and really representing the citizens' view. What we've seen, unfortunately, in recent history, and particularly under the current FCC chair, Michael Powell, who's a strong proponent of deregulation, is much more of a hand-in-glove working of the FCC and the industry. They basically, the FCC sees itself as just kind of refereeing battles between various huge companies, you know, and they're really not speaking for the public. It really, the emphasis has all been on, in their sort of terminology, easing restrictions on the growth of media corporations, you know, getting rid of old and unnecessary deregulations that are constricting these companies. They see things very much from an industry model, and it's really no surprise. There's a lot of back and forth even of personnel, as we see with a number of regulatory agencies, you know, that people go from working for the regulator to working for the industry they're supposed to be regulating. Well, that happens with media companies as well. So rather than being really a watchdog, the FCC has become, I'm afraid, much more of a lapdog.
My name is Bob McChesney. You're listening to Media Matters. Our guest today, who you're listening to, is Janine Jackson, the Program Director of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, who's speaking with us from New York City today on the phone lines. We'd love to have you call in and ask Janine a question. The lines are open. The number here, if you have a question for Janine Jackson, is 333-9455. This is also Pledge Drive Week at WILL. This is the time of year we come to you for your support because we're a nonprofit, non-commercial public station, and we depend upon our listeners if we're going to stay in the air. So if you like listening to people like Janine Jackson, if you like this sort of programming, please call and make a pledge at 244-9455. I don't know if we've had much action in terms of pledges as yet, and we've got a goal to get $2,000 during this hour for Media Matters, and I certainly hope we're going to be able to get to it. So please do call 244-9455. Make that pledge. Show us that this is the sort of radio programming you want to see on the air. And if you have a question for Janine Jackson, the number again is 333-9455, or the toll-free number for our listeners outside of the local Champaign-Urbana area is 800-222-9455. So, Janine, we've got a caller here on line one, so let's go to our caller. Hello, you're on the air with Janine Jackson.
Hi, thanks. Just had a question. As a watchdog group, what kind of pressures do you come under in dealing with the situations that you're trying to monitor?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, of course, we do have, you know, our own, we work within our own, you know, constraints to some degree. I will say, as Bob and I have sort of been joking about, but it's a reality. Our strongest pressure is economic. You know, we're a small group. We can't, obviously, with the kinds of work that we do, we can't accept advertising, from media companies or from commercial companies in our magazine. We certainly can't take grants from companies that own things in media because we might want to be monitoring them. So basically we struggle along as a public interest group, and that's certainly a pressure. We're always trying to, you know, gain subscribers for the magazine, gain stations for the radio show, and we have a harder time than other groups getting into media and getting media attention for ourselves because what we're talking about is media. You know, there's a built-in difficulty there. So, I mean, we certainly have those sorts of just plain old resource pressure that a lot of nonprofit groups run into, absolutely. And we really, as for where, how we support ourselves, very much like WILL, we rely on subscribers to the magazine. We rely on people who send in money because they think what we do is important, you know. And then we do chase after a certain number of small public interest or pro-democracy grants that we're able to get from foundations that want to support journalism criticism. But I won't say that it's not a tough road. I will say that since we started in 1986, the awareness, the general public awareness of the need for groups like FAIR, and I would love there to be lots of them on the local level and the national level. I'm not at all proprietary about media criticism. I think we all should be doing it. But the need, I think, is much more recognized today. And so in that way, things are really growing in a positive direction.
And listeners who are interested in learning more about FAIR and its activities can just go to the website, which is www.fair.org, FAIR.org, and just sort of check it out. Is that right?
Yeah, and I would like to stress that, you know, we're talking about sort of industry issues now and policy and regulations on media, but that's not all that FAIR does. I mean, we very much look at the content of the day. We just did an action alert about media coverage of the Venezuelan coup, for example. We're really trying to track all kinds of issues, and issues of racism, of sexism, of environmental questions, all kinds of things that are actually in the media, and there we're asking questions about which range of perspectives is being seen, who's participating in the debate, who is not, you know, what sorts of imbalances or just unanswered questions are there in media coverage. So we look at lots of different things, and if folks will go, yeah, to www.fair.org, you'll get a sense of the range of issues we deal with.
Better than that, they can listen to this show right now, because for the balance of the show, I'd really like to talk a lot about FAIR's critique of the news coverage of some of the big stories that are going on right now. And people want to call in and ask Janine Jackson of FAIR, the FAIR's analysis of current politics. The number here is 333-9455 or 800-222-9455. Our lines are open. But as I said, this is also Pledge Drive Week here at WILL. We're trying to raise some money. And Jack Brighton, our WILL producer, has come back into the Studio C here to join me. And let's talk for a couple minutes, if we can, about the cash register. How are we doing?
Well, we're doing extremely well thus far, but unfortunately we have a huge goal to reach. We're trying to raise $140,000 from listener contributions during the next week, which is, probably about $25,000 more than we ever have raised during such a time.
Is WILL getting greedy? What's the reason for this?
The reason is we've lost $250,000 in federal funding, and in order to make up for that, we have to turn to the people who, use the service. And that's probably actually the best way for us to support the service anyway, because there's fewer politics or other kinds of pressures involved. And I have to say that, you know, it enables us to do shows like Media Matters. We've had so many good comments from people who have tuned in the last 2-3 weeks and discovered Media Matters. And so it's the kind of show that we want to do, and we need your support for it. 244-9455 is the phone number to call to support Media Matters and all the other shows you hear on the station. Just read a couple comments that we got through the email on Media Matters. This lineup change, speaking of Media Matters, has added another 2 hours of sit-down time to my weekend that I didn't have before, and I will take this change into consideration the next time I contribute to WILL.
Let's hope that's today.
Exactly.
And let's hope there are other people thinking the same thing out there, because this is an opportunity to say that, hey, this is the sort of show we want to hear. We want to hear people like Janine Jackson and Greg Palast and John Nichols and Naomi Klein and Jim Hightower. These are the sort of people we want to have on the airwaves in East Central Illinois, have a chance to talk with them and ask them, give them a chance, you know, to really lay out their arguments and their opinions and get detailed answers, not the sort of quickie sound bites. And what I always tell people when they're thinking about supporting a station like WILL is just take the taste test. Get there on the dial. You're right here at 580. You'll start turning it to the right and see what you're going to get. And ask yourself, is this really what you want? Is this the public affairs coverage you want to have in your life? Sort of sound bites, piles of commercials. And I think the answer clearly has to be an emphatic no. The support we get says that. But this is the time to really back it up. This is the time to say, yeah, I like the station, I like the programming, and I want to keep it going, and I want to keep it strong.
Absolutely. Well, the media is so important in our lives. I mean, you know, it tells us about the world and about each other and helps us understand what's going on. But unfortunately, the media doesn't really always do a very good job. And where are you going to get a critique of how the media is doing its job? I don't think you're going to get it in commercial media.
No, it's not in their interest, obviously. It's only going to come from a nonprofit, non-commercial media. And people will say, well, you guys won't be critical then of the public system. You're weighed in on that. And I think what listeners to Media Matters will discover is that we have no sacred cows.
Right.
Everything is fair game here. Our listeners wouldn't accept anything less than that. I think they have really high standards, and they're going to expect that, and that's what they're going to get.
The number to call to make a pledge right now, 217 is the area code, 244-9455. Let's go out to our Pledge Center real quickly and check with Jay Pearson and see how, I want to hear the phones ring, first of all.
Yeah, really.
Let's get some ringing right now. We do have people here to take your calls. We've had 7 calls so far this hour. Here comes one now.
That's the sound I like.
Want to thank Leon McCullough of Urbana, Daryl Sweeney of Champaign, who really likes Media Matters, Ray Plant and Mary Wallace of Champaign, like Media Matters and Keeping the Faith. Herbert Morgan of Urbana called and said, Media Matters is why he has become a new member of the Friends of WILL. Thank you, Herbert. Jan Cruz of Mattoon came back as a member because of Media Matters, increasing her pledge from before. Says the program addresses some issues that need to be heard. Judith McNeely in Hodgepodge Lodge in Champaign, thank you very much for contributing. $715 and counting during this hour on the way to your $2,000 goal, Bob. Mm-hmm. So that means we're, about $1,285 away with two lines ringing now. And we have 3 more lines available for you at 217-244-9455. Or you can hop online at WILL.UIUC.edu. Can I take just a second to say something? I was speaking at a panel, speaking about what you were just saying, on Friday down in Carbondale. And it was basically about what radio is going to be like in the year 2010. And I was the only public radio person, non-commercial person on the panel. There was somebody from the largest media company in America, the one that owns the most radio stations now, and he said that consolidation of radio under these several large companies is the best thing that has happened for the industry. And I looked at him and I said, well, how does that serve the listeners? And he goes, not listeners, they're called consumers. And, well, we could have debated that. But the bottom line of it was that I said, in Southern Illinois, where I used to work back in 1979, all of the radio stations were owned by different people. They all had news departments. They were all watching City Hall. And now they're all owned primarily by two in America, the one that owns the most radio stations now. And he said that consolidation of radio under these several large companies is the best thing that has happened for the industry. And I looked at him and I said, well, how does that serve the listeners? And he goes, not listeners, they're called consumers. And, well, we could have debated that. But the bottom line of it was that I said, in Southern Illinois, where I used to work back in 1979, all of the radio stations were owned by different people. They all had news departments. They were all watching City Hall. And now they're all owned primarily by two companies, one of two large companies. Well, back in 1979, there were two main radio stations that did news, and each had, well, one of them had 4 full-time news people. The other had 6, 4 full-time and 2 part-time news people. So, and then other radio stations also had 1 or 2 people in their news department. So you had, out of the 10 or 12 radio stations, 15, 18 reporters watching City Hall, watching the school boards, reporting on events in the community. You know how many full-time news people there are down there among the commercial stations today? 2 total. Now, how can they get the job done? And I asked him that question. I said, how can they get the job done? And he goes, they cover it. They get it done. And I said, how? How do you have time? You're doing news for 6 radio stations. When you're one news person in a news department for 6 radio stations, how do you get the job done?
Well, you just rip off the Associated Press and read it on the air. That's
basically, or you read the newspaper.
Yeah.
You read the newspaper, unfortunately. But that's happened in this market, too. How many full-time commercial news people do you think there are in this market here in Champaign-Urbana? Among all the radio stations outside of WILL, how many full-time news people are there?
I give up.
I think there are 2.
We should have that as a contest, and the winner could get, a magazine or something.
There are 2, and then there are some part-time people working at a couple of the stations, but there are basically 2. And how many are there at WILL?
We have 4 full-time reporters.
4 full-time reporters in news. We have an agriculture department. We have our meteorologists. So you can see how seriously we take the news and information that we present.
Don't forget the producers.
On our station. And that's the producers,
right.
Jack Brightman, Harry Williamson, and Ben Scott, who's working on Media Matters. Bob comes in to talk about the media. We have resources that we're committed to providing, and we ask you, our listeners, in turn, to help support the service that you're getting from this radio station by calling 217-244-9455.
And you know, Jay, one of the things that the consolidation of radio ownership affects is not only the news and journalism, but the nature of the music that people get to hear over the airwaves.
Yeah.
And we're going to do a show on Media Matters in the next 6 weeks where we're going to bring in some people who work with local music stores, local radio stations, and talk about how this consolidation of ownership has narrowed down the sort of range of music that you can hear over commercial radio and the really negative effects that has on our culture.
Yeah, we got in that debate too, but I guess my main point is, look, we're trying to do something. We're trying to buck the odds, I guess. And others look at us and, you know, they say, well, you know, doing radio news and covering City Hall and the county government and the courts and the legislature, that's old stuff. That's passé. You don't have to do that anymore. The audience isn't looking for that from you. And I say the reason the audience isn't looking to radio for it as much as they used to is because they don't get it. The big companies came in and they dictated what you were going to get. They started ripping out the news. I was in the middle of that. I got downsized at least once. And then the audience comes to expect a certain level. And then the companies can come back and go, see, the audience doesn't expect it from us. And they've conditioned them. But we're not that way. We still believe that you are interested in knowing what's going on around the block and around the world and talking about it and learning about it. I think the big thing that is missing, Bob and everyone, when you don't go out and you don't have the bureaus and you don't have the resources to cover issues and you're taking headlines out of the newspaper and off the wire, you report events that happen, but you don't look behind them and explore why did they happen.
Yeah, you don't do journalism.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I think that the moral of the story is get on the phone right now, call in with that pledge, 244-9455. There's a ton of great premiums. We'd like to get you at the $75 level. We need about $1,200 more to meet the goal for the hour, which is $2,000 here on Media Matters. And I'd like to thank Jack for coming in. Do you have any words you want to close with, Jack?
Just call to pledge support of the station and the Media Matters if you've become a listener of the show. Support it. 244-9455. Make a pledge. We need to hear from you now.
And I want to thank Janine Jackson for being so wonderfully patient during the sales pitch there. I could only ask a good friend to be their guest on a program today, and that's why one of the reasons we asked Janine. We've got two people, too, Janine, who've very patiently been waiting on the phone lines to talk to you, and I'm going to get to them right away. So I want to thank those listeners who've been on the line. If you'd like to call in and speak with Janine Jackson of FAIR, the number is 333-9455 or 222-9455 is the 800 toll-free number. So let's go to the phone lines right now. Hello, Champagne. You're on the air with Janine Jackson.
Hi. All the usual kudos. Great stuff. And I guess I wanted to get you back to talking about FAIR's methodology. But by way of that, it isn't just news that FAIR critiques. It's also the chat shows and the ideological bent. I've watched all the chat shows this morning and Washington Week on Friday, and they all infuriated me. But frankly, I guess I expect more from the public media, and that's why maybe I'm going to pick on them, and you can go after them a little bit. I'm sure that the others will be mentioned as well. But the instance that I saw was that one of their talking heads brought up the her on the street reporting from Israel, and recounted the viewing of the of a suicide bombing aftermath from above, you know, where they were taking pictures of it from. But there was absolutely no mention of Janine. They didn't even mention it as a topic of horse race, sort of like Powell is advocating this and they are advocating. There was no mention of it at all. It was just so shockingly unbalanced that I just had to report it and regret it, and I really do expect more from PBS. I know you've done content analysis along the lines of just looking at the kind of guests that are offered constantly.
Right.
So maybe you can take that and go with it. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, Jeannie, maybe address, there are two issues there, I think, that the caller raised. One is the general issue, the range of debate on these sort of expert analysis discussion shows that are on television and radio, where they talk about the current issues of the day and sort of the, who the commentators are, which FAIR's done a lot of work on. And then secondly, the other issue we got at, which is the current crisis in the Middle East and Israel and Palestine. And FAIR has been monitoring the coverage there. So maybe you could address both those.
Sure. Well, I mean, I share the caller's sort of frustration when you're looking, particularly on those shows that are set up supposedly as debate shows. You're looking for people to get into it, to disagree with each other, to present really substantively different views, and instead what you get is often, you know, a fair amount of shouting and interruption, but really not a real debate where people are, for example, putting forward very strongly the Palestinian side or the Palestinian set of issues involved in the Mideast conflict. You may hear something just as skewed as what that caller referred to today. And that's because if you look at who appears on those shows, and we have done numerous, counted them numerous ways, you see a real narrow group of people. And it's not just that they're white and male, largely, which I think people have sort of come to expect, may not even notice anymore, but that politically, and in terms of their economic views, what you get is a range from the right to the center. And I think it's gotten so people don't even, some people don't even really recognize that there are places other than that, you know, that there are more progressive, more left views that are substantive views, because the range, particularly on those Sunday chat shows, is kind of a centrist, you know, things are okay but maybe could be a little better, to a very far right-wing view. And then in terms of, if you don't want to talk about it in terms of left and right and just think of it in terms of top and down, you know, what we find, what FAIR finds, is that government officials are overwhelmingly well represented on those shows. And corporate and sort of business and industry views are very well represented on those shows. So that's another way of constraining the dialogue, because who's left out of that? Well, it's a whole range of what you might call public interest constituencies. Anyone really who might offer a sustained and substantive critique of the views of power, let's just say, official and corporate power. That could be labor, it could be environmentalists, civil rights groups, anti-racist groups, peace organizations, you know, groups for indigenous people. It's a long, long list, but they're all might be described as public interest constituencies who might take issue with that corporate or that government view. And they're very much, we find, you know, no matter which way you slice it, those views tend to be cut out of the debate. And that's a hardship for people who are looking for real debate in media. And that's, unfortunately, as I think the caller was also getting at, that can be a problem with public broadcasting as well. We tend to see similar sources, not really always alternative sources like we're looking for, but many of the same people from commercial media turn up in what is meant to be non-commercial media. So that's a frustration as well.
Janine, what about the argument that you'll sometimes get, and I bet you've gotten it because I've heard it a number of times, that the reason why all the TV show hosts and the cable talk shows like Bill O'Reilly and Chris Matthews and Rush Limbaugh or Gordon Liddy on radio, the reason why they're all political conservatives is that the market wants political conservatives. There's no one who's interested in anyone with a viewpoint to the left of sort of the conservative wing of the Democratic Party, that this is the will of the people. What do you make of that argument?
Well, it's unfortunately, and I do hear it often, people don't recognize that media doesn't really work as a perfect market. You know, it really isn't just that what the public calls for, they get. And there are lots of different ways to illustrate that, but one way that I use is to think about senior citizens and television. You know, senior citizens watch a lot of TV, and so you would think there would be a lot of programming aimed at senior citizens, but there's next to none. And the reason for that is senior citizens watch a lot of TV. Advertisers and sponsors don't feel the need to develop programming to target them because they're already watching. Well, that's not a market at work. You know, that is a commercially driven mechanism in which the audience that's desired is not the broadest or widest possible audience, but it's a very particular audience that sponsors want to reach, and then on another level that corporate owners are comfortable with. Mm-hmm. You know, it has everything to do with the fact that, as we know anecdotally, you know, hosts who do get on who are strongly liberal, often, you know, the management takes issue with the way they talk about corporate behavior or the way they talk about U.S. policy. There's some kind of internal dissent, and those people often disappear or face a hard time. So it's not really the will of the people necessarily being demonstrated here.
And there's also the role of advertisers, what they want to support, and the historical record is in the United States and elsewhere is that everything else being equal, advertisers will give their support to groups that support their political viewpoint.
Absolutely. I mean, you just have to think, you know, that companies that are big companies that are involved in oil drilling, you know, are not going to be interested to sponsor programming that is critical of, you know, the oil industry. It really is, that's putting it crudely, but in many ways it is that crude. Corporate advertisers as well as corporate owners are not interested. It's not in their interest to regularly air views that are critical of their behaviors or that are critical of their worldview.
And that's one of the reasons why we don't accept advertising on Media Matters or WILLAM, and we need the support of our listeners. This is Pledge Week. We've only got about 16 minutes left in our hour here, and we've got to raise another $1,000. The number here is 244-9455. Please, if you've been listening, if you like hearing people like Janine Jackson of FAIR, one of the most intelligent, informed, critical analysts of media in the country today, someone who you are not going to hear on any other station probably in this community, maybe one other at most, but who's generally not going to be accessible, although she can run circles around the sort of people they drag out on commercial media and call them experts. If you like that, we need your support so we can keep her on the air. Please call and make that pledge, 244-9455. And if you'd like to call and ask Janine a question, we have a couple lines open, one person waiting I'll get to in a second. The number for a call to Janine Jackson is 333-9455 here on Media Matters. The toll-free number, 800-222-9455. Why don't you call and make a pledge, then get on the line again and call and ask Janine the question. Janine Jackson, our guest. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, Urbana. Thank you for waiting. You're on the air with Janine Jackson.
Yeah, I really like her action alerts. I've got two questions. One has to do with experts, actually. I heard a commentator, I think it was on MSNBC, but I'm not sure. She said that very often the experts approach the networks rather than the other way around. They're constantly pitching their availability. Can you confirm that? And I've got another question. I don't know if I should ask them.
Yeah, why don't you ask it now, and then we'll just let her field them both.
Yeah, and the other one is having to do with satellite radio, which is just in its inception. I heard that there's actually going to be some commercial-free talk shows on it, and I was curious if Janine had seen any evidence that perhaps they're being skewed away from progressive talk, that kind of thing. So about the experts and satellite radio.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Janine, why don't you start with the experts?
Well, the caller is absolutely right that there are folks, and not just, you know, private concerns, but folks like the Heritage Foundation, you know, conservative foundations that have a lot of resources can devote an incredible amount of time to simply pitching themselves to media outlets as sources on stories. And that's another kind of behind-the-scenes thing to keep in mind, that journalists, I'm not going to say they're lazy, let's say they're very busy, and as they get, you know, as they're stretched thinner and thinner and journalists are leaving the field, they may have to file who knows how many stories a week. They are absolutely reliant on people who call them, people who send them press releases day after day and promote themselves as resources. We call it the Rolodex problem, you know, is that certain guests and certain institutions and think tanks are easier to get a hold of because they have more money, more resources to have people doing specifically press relations work. And that means that's one of the reasons those groups, those better resourced groups, can get on more often. And that's one of the reasons for the narrow range of debate that we see. But the caller is absolutely right that it's not always a function. In fact, I would go so far as to say it's rarely a function of a journalist surveying the entire field of possible guests on a topic and trying to, you know, seek out a range and a real diversity of sources. It just doesn't work that way. I mean, day to day, it's much more a factor of who's in their face, you know, who is calling them every day, and who can send them a glossy report, you know, that's typeset and that, you know, and this sort of thing, as simple as that, you know. And the groups that we would like to see more of in commercial media are, if you think about it, are more often out doing the main work that they do. They're being labor groups or environmental groups or women's rights groups, and they're doing other things, and they don't always have the money to devote the time and the energy to simply pitching themselves to news organizations as sources.
Now, I should say that in a few weeks here on Media Matters, one of our guests will be Norman Solomon, who helped start a group called the Institute for Public Accuracy, which attempts to provide an alternative Rolodex for journalists, of experts who aren't simply going to regurgitate the same positions that come out of the mainstream experts. So we'll be getting back to this issue in a few weeks.
Absolutely, and it's a fabulous group doing much-needed work, because you really do need to get journalists. People will notice that they see the same people again and again on these shows and hear them on the radio, and it's so crucial.
Yeah, you know, Janine, I wanted to ask you about that, because related to just the experts, one of the things that you see a lot on television, especially in these discussion shows, is they have sort of expert commentators who are brought on to pontificate and debate the stories of the day, be it on CNN or CNN or MSNBC or CNBC or Fox News Channel. And it seems like, to the naked eye, to the untrained or the trained eye, that there's a real imbalance there, that conservatives truly outweigh anyone, even in the center, and certainly to the left of center. Moreover, and correct me if I'm wrong, I follow one person in particular, a woman named Ann Coulter, and she is a record of saying some of the most incredible, nonsensical, flat-out lies of anyone I've ever known about. Yet I still see her on CNN. Is there like sort of a... you know, any standards whatsoever to be an expert on one of these shows? Is there anyone who checks for whether they're telling the truth?
Well, you know, it seems to me that there doesn't seem to be. And frankly, some people who, you know, we're constantly hearing that someone like Jesse Jackson has put himself beyond the pale by making this or that comment. You know, you really can't have him on anymore because he said this outrageous thing. And yet Ann Coulter can say something like she said very early on in the bombing campaign in Afghanistan, well, we need to, you know, bomb their towns and convert them to Christianity. You know, this is put forward as a view, and yet it doesn't seem to be a problem. So you're absolutely right. People can talk about, we hear folks like Bill O'Reilly, other commentators, calling for war crimes. You know, calling for things that are war crimes. Let's bomb the infrastructure in Iraq. Things that are just, you'd have to call them irresponsible, you know, and it doesn't seem to, somehow that's interpreted as being hot and being provocative. And say what you will about it, comments that represent a view that is from a left perspective critical of U.S. policy, you know, just tend to be considered more inflammatory or more dangerous or something, or somehow that can get you excluded from a mainstream debate where it seems like all bets are off when it comes to conservative viewpoints.
My name is Bob McChesney. You're listening to Media Matters here on WILL-AM. Our guest today, Janine Jackson, Program Director of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting in New York. This is Pledge Drive Week here on WILL. We need your support. This is the week we come before you and ask for your help. If you like programs like Media Matters, if you like the issues we're raising, this is a chance to show us that you want to support this. And the number, again, is 244-9455. If you make a $75 pledge, all sorts of great things that are available to you, benefits, just ask when you make your pledge. So it's 244-9455. Also, if you'd like to call in and you have a question for Janine, we have room for another call or two, and the lines are open. The number is 9455. That's for a phone call. But please call and make that pledge. We need to raise another $1,000. We're down to 9 minutes to meet our goal for the hour. And we'll have Jack Brighton in here and Jay Pearson in a few minutes to give us an update. But right now, we just want to go back to Janine Jackson, our guest from FAIR. And Janine, the caller had one other question about satellite radio, and which is a new, why don't you tell the listeners what you know about it and how are progressive voices faring on satellite radio?
Well, you know, I'm going to be perfectly honest and say I don't know a tremendous amount about where things lay in satellite radio right now. You know, what I have heard only the same sorts of inklings that, you know, it's one of those, a new technology which seems as though it's a new opportunity to get more media like we'd like to see, and in range and talk shows and a range of perspectives and of music as well. And yet at the same time, it seems, you know, worrisome that it's going to be overridden with the same sorts of commercial forces and more conservative voices as the existing media. So I don't want to pretend I know more than I know about the specifics of satellite radio, mm-hmm. but I will say that the early days, like satellite radio is in right now, the early days when an industry is sort of coming together, are really a crucial time for folks who care about media to get involved and to start communicating to those owners in whatever way you can about your thirst for real diversity. Now is the time when technology is new to express an interest and to try to make sure that, like with non-commercial radio, like we're talking about today on WILL, that it isn't new and alternative in name only, but that it actually takes the goal of presenting diversity, presenting debate, presenting real choice for people, that's built into the structure of the media itself.
Janine Jackson, FAIR does a lot of critical work on news stories. You do the Through Extra, Through Counterspin. It's a program that does media watch, media analysis. How do professional journalists respond to FAIR? I mean, what is the way they react to the type of arguments that you're making about, you know, the limitations of mainstream journalism?
Well, you get a range of responses. Some people, and particularly the higher up you go, really seem to believe that there's simply no place for criticism from a public interest perspective of media. They've so absorbed the idea, the corporate idea, that media is a business, that they basically see it as, you know, we're offering people something. If they want to pay for it, that means they like it, and that's the end of discussion. They basically think about the public as simply consumers. They're not following the role of their influence on the citizenry, you know, on society at large. It's mm-hmm. really just, we have our customers, they like what we print, you know, so, and who are you to complain? You know, it's really nothing to do with you. Those are folks who really have totally set aside any sort of public interest obligation that they may have. They may pay lip service to it, but when the rubber meets the road, if you will, they see themselves as commercial entities. And then we get perhaps a different range of groups who tend to be more beat reporters or tend to be people who've been in a straight journalism, if you will, background and who are dismayed with the encroaching commercial influence. Those folks will agree with us, not always publicly, but, you know, we get some whispered phone calls of, you know, I really agreed with that last action alert, you know, gotta go, you know, from inside media companies, because journalists themselves recognize that they're not getting to always do the kind of journalism they would like to do because they're under pressure from an advertiser, because they're under pressure from a corporate owner who is literally telling them, you can't step on those toes, you can't do that story. So I think journalists do increasingly agree with, if not every detail of FAIR's critique on particular subjects, they absolutely agree with the need for organizations which are an independent check on commercial media.
Now, there are media watch groups that are from the right side of the political spectrum, groups like Accuracy in Media, which was started by Reed Irvine, I think back in the 60s or 70s. And then Brent Bozell has his group. I can't recall the name right off the top of my head. Are they basically doing the same thing that FAIR does, except they come from the conservative side? How would you distinguish FAIR from those groups?
Well, Brent Bozella's Media Research Center, I'll just say, in the interest of of inclusivity there. Well, I would encourage people to, I think the proof is in the pudding on that. I'd encourage people to take a look at the work that those organizations do and compare it to the work that FAIR does, because essentially FAIR makes no bones about being a left group, about being a progressive group, meaning that we're feminist and anti-racist and you know, pro-public interest. But we're not saying the range of debate on that show was bad because they didn't have a liberal, you know, they didn't have someone saying exactly what Janine Jackson would say. That's not the critique we make, and that's often what Media Research Center's work looks like, is, you know, they had a person on who was critical of Israel. How dare they? You know, and that will be kind of the line. Our line is not about ideology in that way. It's much more about journalism. Mm-hmm. We try to be much more fair to the people we're critiquing, and we always, always give readers the information. Here's a link to the original article. Here's a way to find exactly what it is that we're critiquing, so that you don't have to agree necessarily with our political perspective to understand the critique we're making of the media as media. And I think that really distinguishes FAIR's work from those other groups.
Janine, we've almost out of time. We've got one more caller I'd like to get in, and let's do that quickly if we can. Champagne, you're on the air with Janine Jackson. Could you make it quick, please?
Okay. One of the things I noticed is that it seems like when somebody is on from a left perspective, it's Noam Chomsky or Ralph Nader or somebody like that, is one of the things that you do, it would seem very helpful to me, would be to provide lists of people to speak on different issues to radio stations and to TV stations and the media that represent a wider range, so that there is no excuse for them to say, well, you know, we don't really know who to call, because the liberal movement tends to be in some way less organized.
Thank you very much. Janine?
Well, we have done exactly that and sent lists of folks. We mentioned earlier two media outlets. We're in constant communication with media outlets who call us, to be honest, call us and ask for who can we get on that sometimes. And we try to do exactly that work. We mentioned Institute for Public Accuracy, which is doing exactly that kind of work of promoting different kinds of sources onto the media. I would encourage the public to do it as well. In other words, to call the station or the newspaper. And even if you don't have names to suggest, to let them know that you'd like to hear voices that represent a particular perspective. And then that will make our work that much easier when we're trying to promote individual sources or organizations.
You know, Janine Jackson, I want to thank you very much for being our guest today on Media Matters. It's really been an honor to have you on the air with us. And the next time we have you on, I promise it won't be during Pledge Drive, but today we had to have you on during the period which we need to raise the money to pay the bill so we can stay on the air. So thank you again, Janine, very much for being with us.
It's been my pleasure, and it's my pleasure to be on during Pledge Drive, because it's just as important to me and to Counterspin and FAIR as it is to you all, and I would really like to encourage folks to show their support.